All right, so today we're kicking off Philippians.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me who wrote Philippians. Philip. We got Philip. We got Corin. Yeah. We got Paul. Any other guesses?
I
second Paul.
Okay. There's either. Yeah, you have a guess? Okay, we have Jesus. Philip, yeah.
Jesus.
Who?
Piano.
We have Jesus, Philip, Peon, Corin. Seriously? We have Paul. We have second Paul. Any other guess? We have Timothy and Paul. We have God, Moses. You guys are way off. Jordan, there we go. And there we have it. Nope. In all honesty, second Paul wrote it. And just kidding. Paul wrote it. Paul Taylor, college pastor, wrote it. Timothy did not write it, even though it says Paul and Timothy. Timothy was with Paul and shared his sentiment, but he wrote it. What else do you guys know about Philippians?
It's written to the city of Philippi.
It's written to the city of Philippi in the Philippines. Is that what you're saying? Okay. It's written to the Philippians.
Philippines.
Philippines. The peons. What else do you know about Philippians? They were sort of having some trouble, but less trouble than most of the other people Paul's
Paul
writing
really
to.
Liked them. He was like congratulating them.
Paul really liked the Philippians, it's true. Yeah. Hey, give a hand for King's Academy, huh?
Yeah.
King's Academy. Woo! Stephanie Lind, people. Stephanie Lind. One of our own. Yes.
Yeah, King's Academy.
All sophomores learn about this.
I have a feeling if I asked for a boo for King's Academy, that would be a lot louder than the applause, but I won't do that because that's not Christian. You guys know anything else? I don't know if half that's true or not. He could have just been making that up. I don't know. I have any idea. I don't really trust Steph too much, so. Anything else you know about Philippians?
Next to Neapolis.
Yes, it is. Thessalonica? Not Thessalonica.
They donated money to Paul.
They gave him money? Yeah. The last word, that was going to be a contest, too. Depending on what version, I don't know.
Philippians 4:13.
What is it? Do it. In Espanol. Nice. It's more her level. All right. Philippians chapter 1. Open it up. Philippians chapter 1. Anybody got a page number in the blue Bible?
I got 650.
It's like about 82% of the way through your Bible. 651.
It's only one page.
Oh, I mean like 94.
Not
94. 94. Count it out. Philippians 1. Everybody there? What is this? All right, we're going to read it. Shh. This is the most important thing you're going to hear all day long. So listen carefully. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. What did we just hear? What did we just learn? What did that just say? Somebody tell me something. Kind of a big chunk, I know. And I'm not a very good reader, I know that too. Thank you. Yeah.
No, just my handwriting.
Well, now you got to tell me something. Let it be known, don't scratch your head in here.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just kidding. What are we just learning here? Where's Paul? What does that mean? He's in jail. Okay, cool. What's the general overall message here that he's saying? Rejoice and I love you. It's kind of a love letter. It's embarrassing. Paul. All right. So check this out, right? We have Paul here and he's saying, hey, what's your job? No, it's every day. We have Paul here, and he's saying, I can't do it when the staff is out of crazy. He's saying, you know, I love you guys. I miss you guys. I really want to see you guys soon. And then he's saying, I rejoice because of you guys. You guys have stand firm by me. Just like I think Sam said, they gave Paul money when he was on his missionary journeys. So Paul planted this church on his second missionary journey. And so he's writing back. He planted it, and now he's in jail in Rome, which is far away. And he's writing back to these guys. Man, I miss you guys. I've heard good things about you guys. You guys have been doing a lot of good stuff. Thank you for supporting me. And he's just saying, I rejoice in God. Check this out in verse 9. This is my prayer for you. This is Paul's prayer for this church that he planted, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And he's just saying, man, you guys have been doing a good job, and I just pray that you're filled with love even more. Like, you guys just keep on doing, you know, kind of what you're doing. And here's the funny thing about this. But then he goes on and says, you know, yeah, I'm in jail right now, but check it out. Because I'm in jail, the whole palace and all the guards and everybody have been talking about what Jesus did. Everybody's been talking about it. And once the palace is talking about it, it spreads quick from there. And he's saying, it's actually been a good thing. Here's the crazy thing about this. Paul is in prison. Paul's under house arrest. He's in chains. He's guarded by Roman guards 24/7. He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything except write letters, apparently. And he's been beaten, and he's been stoned, and he's been mocked, and he's been kicked out of cities, and all this stuff, all because he goes in and he preaches. And now he's in prison, And what's his message? Man, keep on doing what you guys are doing. Keep at it. Right? Rejoice with me. Even though he's had all this stuff happen to him, and he's in prison while he's saying it, rejoice with me in what God is doing, because God is doing awesome things. And I read this passage here, this first part of Philippians, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of embarrassing for me. Because by these standards, I haven't had a very hard life. Like, I've had some tough times. You guys have probably had some tough times. Maybe you guys have been here. Maybe people have thrown rocks at you and tried to kill you with them. That hasn't really happened to me, but maybe it's happened to you. Or maybe you've been whipped with, you know, what is that thing called? Cat of nine tails. A whip. Maybe you've been whipped with, what do you call it? A whip. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for that help. That's embarrassing too. And maybe you've been through some of that stuff all because you've gone different places and said, here's what Jesus has done for you because he loves you. But that's never happened to me. And yet, when I go through hard times, when things aren't going well for me, when I feel lonely, or when I'm, you know, being made fun of, or when I'm bored to death at church, or, you know, these things, I'm not rejoicing. I'm not super pumped about God and what he's doing. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, sometimes it's hard to see what God is doing in my life. Or in the lives of the people around me. I don't know if you've been there. But I've been through long periods of time where I'll go to bed at night and I'll lay there and I can't fall asleep because I'm thinking about stuff. And I just say, God, I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time. Where are you? Things are falling to pieces for me. Where are you? People all around me are hurting. Where are you? Like, God, are you going to show up? And yet here's Paul, who's in the midst of all that. He's alone in prison. He's had all these hard things happen. He's got more coming down the line. And yet he's saying, man, God is doing great things. And here's my question for myself, and maybe for you guys, I'm not sure. Is it because, is the reason that I don't see God during those times, is it because I'm not looking? And he really is, and he's kind of just behind the scenes, but I just don't see it because I'm not really looking for it. I'm kind of focused on me and what's going on with me and all my problems. Paul doesn't seem to be too worried about that. The Philippian church seems to be pretty worried about Paul being in prison. But Paul's like, hey, don't worry about me being in prison because check it out, God's doing all this cool stuff. He's not really worried about himself. And so is it because of that, or, which is even scarier for me, is it because I'm not living my life the way God wants me to live my life? Over and over and over in this passage, in this whole book, he's talking about the gospel. You know, I'm suffering for the gospel. I'm in prison because of the gospel. Rejoice because the gospel is being preached. All this stuff. Anybody have any idea what the gospel is? Yeah. Yeah, what's the good news though? Yeah. Totally. Jesus died for us and he rose again. And he's focused on that. And I wonder if in my life, the times when I'm sitting here looking up in the sky, staring at what seems to be only the stars and just saying, God, where are you? Where have you been all my life? Where, you know, all these hard times are going on. Where are you? And sometimes I wonder for myself, is it because I'm focused on myself and I'm not focused on, hey, this is the gospel. This is the good news. Do I really think it's good news? you really think it's good news? Like, I know a lot of us have kind of grown up in the church. Not all of us, but a lot of us have. And the gospel's this story that we hear over and over and over, and it kind of gets a little bit bland. And every once in a while, something like the Passion of the Christ will come out, and you're like, oh, man, that was so moving. And yet, that's the story, you know, and it kind of gets bland again. And then, you know, sometimes we'll hear somebody talk, and it's like this moving thing, and you're like, oh, that's so cool, that's the gospel. And then the next day, it's kind of done again. And for me, this is the gospel is the thing that's changed my life. And I know for a lot of you guys too. And it's, I mean, you guys probably know. You guys probably have seen this in your friends, or maybe in yourselves, or in your parents, or in other adults that you've seen. It's hard for people to change. And yet there's this thing called the gospel, the good news, this message that God came down in human form and died for us and rose again to conquer sin and defeat it so that we could live with God. How cool is that? You know, it's almost hard to talk about it because you don't want to like ruin it, like, because, you know, you're like, well, yeah, Jesus died for our sins, and we can just kind of talk about it like that. But if you think about it, Jesus died for our sins, for goodness sake. Like, he actually died. Dead. He died. He's dead. He's not now, but he was briefly dead. That's a heresy. He died, but then he rose again. There you go. But he was dead. Do you get that? Like, dead. I wish I had something right here that I could just kill. That'd be very dramatic, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get a goat from Kristen, because that'd have been sweet. But volunteering? Come on up, man. But this is dramatic though. Right? It's like the ultimate drama, like Romeo and Juliet, right? Juliet thinks Romeo's dead, so she's like, ah, he's dead, so she kills him herself. Oh yeah, other way around. I don't care, man. I don't read books. Seriously? It's like, I'm trying to make the point. You're ruining it. I try to make the point. It's this dramatic statement, right? God died for you. And this is what Paul's all psyched about. This is what Paul's all pumped about. He's like, I can't believe it. God, who knows me, who knows everything about me, he knows what's inside of me, he knows what I think, he knows what I do, he knows where I've been, he knows what I've done. He was there in those darkest times when I was doing the things that I'm most ashamed of, and he knows about all of them. And yet, God, the God who made us all, who knows all this about us, came down here and died for us, despite everything we've done and said and thought. And that's the thing that hits Paul, right? And he's totally changed. If you remember, Paul used to kill Christians. The Paul who wrote all these books in the New Testament, not all of them, but he wrote a bunch of them, he used to kill Christians. And he'd hunt them down. He didn't like just, oh, you're a Christian? God, stab him in the heart, dead. You know, like a vampire or something. He would go hunt them down and kill them or throw them in prison. This was a bad dude. And yet the gospel, this dramatic statement by God that said, you know what, I'm just going to send my son and he's going to die for you. It changed Paul. And no longer did he kill Christians, but what did he do? He actually became one. And this is the gospel story. And this is what Paul's so amped about. And he says to the Philippians, you guys heard the gospel and you believed it, and now you guys are loving people. Just what Christ said, right? The two greatest commandments, what are they? Hit me. In that order?
No, other order.
Okay, cool. Right, love God, love other people. And they do that, and he says, man, my prayer for you guys is that you would have even more love. Even more. In knowledge and in discerning, right? Not just blind love, but... this group right here, and, you know, the people who aren't here too, but... You guys are actually a pretty loving group. CJ. Yeah, we are. That's right, we are. You guys are a pretty loving group. I've heard a lot of people who come in here new, and you guys have just welcomed them. You've done a really good job of just kind of bringing people in here. You guys are really good at that. My prayer for you is the same as Paul's, that you would have even more love, and that every single new person who walks in this door, that you would just come and greet them and make them feel at home and just show them the love of Christ. Here's what I want to do. I'm sort of done talking at you here, but I've been talking to a lot of you guys kind of individually and kind of off, you know, at different times, and I think a lot of you guys have been in a place where I've been, where you don't see God moving in your life. You don't see where God is working. You can't believe that God cares about you because you just can't see Him. And I know a lot of you guys are there right now. But I know there's also a lot of you guys in here right now that you do see God moving, and you have seen Him working in your life and in the lives of people around you. And here's what I thought. This might flop completely. I don't know. I'm kind of just putting it out there. But I think that, I know for me, it's always encouraging when you hear from other people what God is doing in their lives. And it always helps me to see what God's doing in my life when I can see what God's doing in other people's lives. And so I'm nervous about this, but I decided I kind of wanted to do this anyways. And, you know, if it flops, you can just blame it on me and think I'm a putz, and we'll get on with it. But putz, yeah. But here's what I want to do is I just kind of want to take a little bit of time. And if you've, I mean, you'd have to put it out there too. Sorry. But if you've seen God working in your life recently or in the lives of somebody around you, or even if you haven't, I'm just going to kind of sit right here on the speaker, and if you want to share about that, to encourage somebody or to just express your frustration with God or just to share because you're excited about what God's doing, you can do that. And it might be awkwardly silent for a little while, maybe not, but just kind of bear with it if it is, and I'm going to give it some time. But if you've seen God moving, man, turn it loose. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to come together and just worship you through some great music, God, and I just thank you for a chance to hear from your word and see a little bit of your heart, God, and to hear from each other. God, we just pray right now for those of us in this room that are just having a hard time seeing you, feeling abandoned by you, God. There's probably more in here than we realize who are in that spot. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. God, show us your love and give us your love. God, Thank you for those of us in this room that see you working, that see you moving, that have seen your Spirit do incredible things through us and in us. God, I pray that that those of us who are in that place would encourage each other and encourage those who are having a harder time seeing you right now. God, thank you for this group. Thank you for the love that you've given them. And thank you for things like Amy shared, where people just come here and feel loved. God, I just pray that that these high school students, that their love would abound more and more, that you give them more and more love for each other and for people that they come in contact with every day. God, thank you for the gospel of your good news. Thank you for the dramatic statement that you made, that you came down and you died for us, despite who we are, despite what we've done. God, we love you because of that, and because you're a good God. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.